today on Doomed! Ah, Gab. The gift that keeps on giving. Today on the show, everybody, I bring you Michael Edison Hayden, Senior Investigative Reporter with the Southern Poverty Law Center, to talk about the website known as Gab.com. Free speech website? Or white supremacists' favorite social network? I guess you will decide after today's show. Or maybe during it, even. Let's pull up Michael right now. Give me one second here. All right. Michael, welcome to the show.
I'm excited to be here.
Sorry about that. It took a second. I had a little bit of a technical difficulty on my end, but we're all good now. Everything's perfect. Michael, thank you so much for joining me today. And I wanted you on the show because you've been someone who's been covering Gab.com. Well, now it's Gab.com. It wasn't always Gab.com. We get into that.
Yeah, it was Gab.ai.
Right. We get into that in a little bit. But, I wanted you on the show because you've been reporting on Gab for a long time. And for long-time listeners of Doomed, I've been covering Gab, actually. I've had Kelly Weil of the Daily Beast on the show, and we've discussed Gab. But today, we're going to go really deep inside what's going on with Gab. Because, the timing is actually perfect. I had reached out to you last week. And then literally yesterday, this big thing happens with Gab where the site goes behind a paywall and its founder has some sort of meltdown. But again, we'll get into that shortly. But right before we went live, and I'm sorry for talking while right after I introduced you. But I received these tweets, and you saw them, right, Michael?
Yes, I did. Yeah, of course.
I received these tweets from the official Gab Twitter account. Apparently, Gab saw that I was doing a show and I was having you on as a guest to talk about the site, which is totally cool. And I think, people who listen to this show know I've had leftists on this show. I am a leftist. I've had conservatives on this show. And we've debated, we've had discussion. And I would say, for the most part, I think everyone would say I'm pretty fair, even the conservatives. So I'm going to start off this episode by reading these tweets from Gab. Let's start here. Hi, Matt. Gab is a free... Well, first I said, I introduced you and I said, Michael Edison Hayden will join the show to discuss what the hell is going on with white supremacists' favorite social network, Gab. So their response is, hi, Matt. Gab is a free speech website that exists to extend U.S. standard civil liberties protections to marginalized people all over the planet, including journalists, members of religious minorities, LGBTQ+ persons, and politically exposed activists. The tweets continue. As President Obama put it, the strongest weapon against hateful speech is not repression, it is more speech. Right. If this is, I got to read the whole thing though. Today, Netflix pulls comedy shows that offend Saudi princes. Twitter removes content of Pakistani human rights activists. Patreon kicks off conservatives. We don't. And in a third follow-up tweet, protecting speech for anyone means protecting speech for everyone. We'd be very happy to have you join the site and spread your message too. Now, let me just say from my end here, sure, I will join Gab if that's what they want me to do so I can see the site for myself. I've actually been on the site before, but you, Michael, and the reason I've had you on is because you've been on the site for a lot. You've been on the site a lot.
Yes, so, I have.
So tell me, and I'll let you talk now and I won't say a word. I've talked enough already.
Yeah.
How accurate is that tweet thread?
Well, I'll just focus on one aspect of it, which is the journalist aspect of it. Torba, the CEO of Gab, Andrew Torba, he has he really does not like journalists very much, and right after the Tree of Life shooting, I should call it a domestic terror attack because that's what it is. Gab had, I think, had kind of faded in the background. It was a fascination for a brief while because it was like, okay, there's this site that people are, where a lot of alt-right personalities are flocking to and whatever. And then people got quite bored with it. Even people in the alt-right movement and many neo-Nazis got bored with the site. Then all of a sudden, It had this spotlight shining on it because of this domestic terror attack. And all the reporters that covered that, from Washington Post to Daily Beast and whatever other sites, Torba really tried to drag every one of those people on Twitter. He suspended my account from Gab, under completely, fatuous, silly, I don't know. I don't even exactly know what he was, what violation I had committed. But he did that. And then, on the basic level, speaking only about what, from the point of view of Gab users who believed in the mission of the site, Torba has like a kind of a group of fans or a cult fan base on the site, a small one that will go along with almost anything that he does, seemingly. But a lot of people who join the site believing, people on the far right who join the site believing that this was going to be a safe space to say anything and do anything, have become very, very disappointed with Gab. A lot of people who are critical of Torba on the site have been banned from it. Now, the question is safe for LGBT, the gay population. I have a hard time saying that when I'm on a live stream.
It's all good.
The gay population, people of color, et cetera, like that. I mean, it is not that. I mean, I think like...
Mispronouncing the acronym is probably the least problematic thing when we're talking Gab and the LGBTQ+ community, really.
Yes. But I would say like, I would say like culturally, I grew up in a very, culturally white household. My mother is Egyptian. My father is white. I never felt, particularly ethnic until I joined Gab, when people started to like really like analyze my DNA. So
what you're saying is join Gab if you want a free ancestry.com.
Yeah. If you want people like, trying to measure your skull and everything else, like join Gab.
Right. Okay. Why pay for 23andMe when you can get the alt medicine version of that from gab.com?
Yeah, I mean, I want to be clear. Not every user of that website is a white supremacist. However, because they, Torba created an environment in which organized racism could flourish, neo-Nazis could organize out in the open, use the chat rooms, use the group functions and stuff like that. They're just there. They're just on the website. And you could say, oh, they're on Twitter too, which is of course true.
Right.
But Gab doesn't have LeBron James. Like it's not it is a very small website. And we're finding out, in terms of how many active users actually are, it's very, very small. In fact.
Right.
And
right. When you have hundreds of millions of people, when you have hundreds of millions of people on your website, there's going to be groups of people who are certainly problematic. Without a doubt. Now, when you have the entirety of those problematic people just on your website, then you have to ask yourself, what am I doing wrong?
Sure. And
if you think you're doing something wrong, and I question whether that's the case.
Sure. I just want to make one thing like clear, which is that the idea of some kind of speech, a free speech website, something like that, sounds nice to the ear of the type of person who might be attracted to Gab. But most of them, many of them, had been disappointed with the product. Because if they attack Torba, not all of them, but many of them, if they attack Torba, they get banned from the website. You go into his comments and he'll ban you from it. It's almost... it's happened to at least 10 or 15 people in the last few months.
Right, right. And, I didn't want to get this far into it off the top, but I had to read those tweets. So I just want to step back a little bit and just go into exactly who is the founder of Gab, this Andrew Torba fellow, and what, I'm sure people could get from it now, but why did he exactly start Gab.com? Like, where did it come from?
Well, I mean, I guess you'd have to ask him that, but you know, where it came from. But I
and
mean,
Torba, if you're listening to this show, feel free to reach out to me. I'm being
and actually,
serious.
I've reached out to him for comments several times, and he's never responded. So he can respond to me directly. The impetus for starting the website was, and I'll take this in a good faith way, tech companies were, you know, clamping down on users, popular users on websites like Twitter and Facebook during the 2016 election for saying inappropriate things on those websites. I mean, one example that comes to mind is Milo Yiannopoulos, who was, you know, with the whole Leslie Jones affair, for people who are not familiar, instigated a harassment campaign against her. Milo was a big player on Twitter, had a big following. There has to be some kind of way that we can make money off of these big volume user people and put them somewhere else, so a safe place for them to go. So, I mean, the idea was, this is a place where you can go and you can safe and you can you safely cry your love for Donald Trump and your dislike of soy boys and whatever else, and that's going to be this. What I don't think they planned for is the degree to which many of the people who are not e-celebrities who were banned from social media were outright dangerous people. And if they were not dangerous people, they were, you know, I mean, they were people like Andrew Anglin of Daily Stormer, who is a neo-Nazi and, you know, lives to write and say things that provoke, you know, a really, I don't know how to put it. he's responsible for troll storms and things like that.
Right. He antagonizes his people he doesn't like.
Sure.
He organizes, you know, people on problematic places on the internet, you know, 4chan, 8chan, etc., to sort of, you know, go after people like a targeted harassment campaigns. You know, I know exactly what you're saying. If your new website is bringing all these people to one place, then if that's not what you meant to do, then you realize right away who's on the site, and you do things to make changes to make sure that not only those people are coming to your site.
Well, one thing that's interesting is that Anglin and Weave, Andrew Ornheimer, both of Daily Stormer, they posted a lot on the site, and they brought their community with them right away. Milo got bored with it very quickly, and many of the e-celebs that Torba had tried to court early on, people like Mike Cernovich. Cernovich has told me that he found, you know, Gab like extremely repulsive immediately, just because of the degree of, you know, the hate speech. And you're talking about a guy who is already, you know, so many people want him banned from Twitter for the stuff that he, you know, for the stuff that he's done, Pizzagate and things like that. And, you know, I mean, he couldn't stomach it, in part because neo-Nazis, white supremacists, they brought their people to play. And the e-celebs, you know, posted once or twice and abandoned the site. This is still the problem with Gab today. I mean, one of the biggest coups that Gab got in recent months was like, okay, Laura Loomer, after she was banned, she's like needed a home because she's got to post and stuff. And, you know, she signed up for Gab and was posting, immediately blasted with anti-Semitic harassment and stuff like that. I mean, just typical Gab stuff. And, you know, I mean, she's really MIA, hasn't posted in 3 weeks. Ann Coulter made Gab kind of like, you know, like a cause briefly, because it's like, oh, they're all coming down on Gab and stuff like that. And so she's like, I'm going to sign up for Gab and post on here. She posted for like a few days and has not posted in 2 months. And people who pay close attention to the website know that. They're aware of that, because every time one of these e-celebs comes in, it is a big story inside that community. It's a very small and tight-knit community. And when these people come, and then they know when they give up and just they're like, okay, no one's here, or there's you know, I mean, just they're getting blasted with swastikas and oven memes and stuff like that.
Right. I mean, to be fair to Laura Loomer, she might be a little bit busy, you know, jumping over Nancy Pelosi's walls,
yes,
and doing all sorts of handcuffing herself to Twitter.
I saw her like that's because I'm working on another feature that's unrelated to this now, and it's just been like it's giving me pink eye in my like right eye or whatever. I'm like sick and you know whatever else from working on this story. And like someone sent me a picture of Laura Loomer wearing like dressed in like a Mexican, some kind of Mexican costume, and I was like, I'm not even gonna take the time to find out what this is. I'm not gonna let seconds drip out of my life trying to figure out what it is.
Right. I got to think
Instagram though, and when she gets banned from Instagram, I have a feeling she's not gonna go back to Gab because it's a really difficult place to, you know, to sink in. I mean, I think these people tend to do better on Minds.com, which is like a kind of a different strange site. But we'll get to that later.
Right. You know, it is something there that even, you know, people like Cernovich and Laura Loomer go on this site, you know, really horrible people. And they're turned away. Like that's how far the people on the site are in terms of, you know, their extremist positions. And listen, you want a site that's free speech and you want to let this all run wild. You want to let the wild, wild west of this stuff go. That's, you know, to me, I mean, I see the problems in it and I see why you'd want that. Fine. If you're running this website and you want that to happen, then cool, fine. But then really question, where's the other side here? Why aren't there, where's the far left? Where's the progressives? Where's liberals? Where's centrists? Where's moderates? Where's Republicans? Where's your basic generic conservatives? Why are these people, where's the non-political people?
Well, I would say there are some conservatives on Gab for sure. Like there are some kind of like, you know, I don't know, like, constitutional grandma accounts type things.
You know,
there
I
are
think
a few of them, but they're
like the libertarians that are for liberty, but don't also want to say that the Civil Rights Act was a bad idea. I mean,
the defining culture of that website from the very beginning when it started were alt-right posters, and now those very same people are, you know, on the website directly. In Torba's mentions, accusing him of running an affinity scam, which is, you know, when you take a group of people and you prey on their, you know, their tendencies towards the community in order to turn a profit. They're very frustrated, those people. And I don't think he has, you know, the commitment from conservatives is enough, you know, financially. I mean, Gab is losing a lot of money, first of all. That's the first thing, which we elaborated on in that story quite a bit. I don't know if we want to touch on those specifics, but...
Oh, let's get into that in one second, actually. I just have to point this out. We have a bit of a YouTube celebrity watching us in the chat over here. Good old Styx Hexenhammer 666.
Oh, I had to block this guy the other day only because his followers are really annoying. I have no issue with his posts, Tammy. It's just like more like I was just like, I don't want to deal with like...
I just want to say hi to Styx, and I want to welcome him to the show. Welcome to Doomed. Thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it. For anyone who isn't aware of Styx, you've probably seen various memes of him where users have screenshotted him shirtless, wearing a leather jacket. Yeah. Very, very cool. But, you know, that aside, though, listen, Styx, while I have your attention, I'd be happy for you to come on this show anytime. I'd go on your show anytime if you'd like, and I'm all for free speech. I really am. But
I don't think I've ever been on YouTube before, and I'm like, I realize that this is not home turf for me. So hello to Styx's people. Actually, he's kind of a hole in my knowledge. I have not dug into like his like what his whole deal and stuff. But like, I mean, I know that like there have been some things where he was like questioning the existence of the Holocaust or whatever. Yeah, he should tell me about that sometime. I'd like to know.
Right. Yeah. You know, I'm all for, you know, conservatives love to talk about the exchange of free ideas, the marketplace of free ideas. You know, but for some reason, people like Dave Rubin never seem to have anyone but conservatives and right wingers on his show. So, you know, I have conservatives on the show. Any one of these Gab celebrities watching right now, Styx included, I'd be happy to speak with you guys on this show, or I'd go on your show. So, but let's get back to Gab here. I just had to have that addendum. Rarely do you get the opportunity to be, you know, to have that connection to greatness here. So let's get back to Gab. So let's go into these stories that you recently covered here. Number one, let's get to Epic Domains. Sure. And the interesting thing here is, you know, if I was to write a over-the-top movie script about some sort of evil company that was giving some sort of evil website that was harboring extremists, you know, a place to congregate, you know, if I named this guy Monster, you know, I think Hollywood would look at this script and say, get out of my office, get the fuck out of here. This is too on the nose. But apparently the guy who runs this Epic Domains company, his real name is Robert Monster.
Yes, it is. Yes. When I called him, you know, he was like, you know, your reputation precedes you, when I called him, which was a cool, I thought that was a really cool, intro to a conversation. So Monster, did a thing that other, you know, other sites did not want to do, which is, register the domain, of Gab after the Tree of Life shooting. And he himself, after doing that, kind of rebranded his own company around free speech. You can go to archives like Internet Archive .org, whatever, and you can see his Twitter handle from before he picked up Gab and before the Tree of Life shooting, and it had this very I don't remember exactly what it said. But it was, you know, domains for blah, 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 whatever. And he himself is now, in his bio or whatever, is now rebranded his whole company around free speech after that shooting. He's picked up the business of BitChute, which is also a in the same way that Gab is a kind of a little brother or whatever to Twitter. Very little brother. BitChute is trying to do that with YouTube, under the idea that, okay, you know, YouTube is censoring all these people and whatever. And I'd like to point out that white supremacists like Mike Enoch, Mike Penovich is his real name, and Joseph Jordan, who goes by Eric Stryker, they're on YouTube. They're on Twitter, right? I mean, they're on there. Actually, Stryker's on Gab. At least using his stage name. But the point is, he's all over YouTube. And these are like, you know, dyed in the wool anti-Semites who spend their entire life grousing about Jewish people and, you know, I mean, and spreading hatred about minorities, and they're on those websites. So what ultimately happens when you put this narrative that like, okay, these companies are censoring this, whatever, we're going to create an alternative. The things that are really being banned from YouTube and Twitter, in the case of BitChute, they've got things like, I mean, extraordinarily, you know, racist propaganda and really violent stuff, like songs about cannibalizing black children and, you know, really just awful stuff that you can find on BitChute. And, yeah, Monster is picking up their business. I think he's also got Radio Aryan, which is Aryan Radio, whatever it is, which is a white supremacist, you know, a podcast network. So he's now collecting quite a few of them. And there are other businesses too. There's Sybil Systems, which is we can do that later. You want to keep going?
No, keep going. Go keep going. I was going to say something, but you know, keep going.
Yeah, there's Sybil System, which is they are hosting. Yeah, they're providing the basic infrastructure for that for that website, because social networks, even very 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 small ones like Gab, you know, have a lot of data to share. I mean, you got posts from like 2 years ago and et cetera, et cetera. Sybil System is providing that infrastructure to them. And they're kind of a mysterious company that claims to be based out of the UK. We're kind of looking into them a little bit further right now. Then there's a company called Second Amendment Processing, which recently, you know, picked up the business of Gab's like payment processing after PayPal dropped them, after Stripe dropped them. Stripe does business with with Penovich and, you know, white supremacists like that. And the fact that they dropped Gab is sending a message. But something called Second Amendment processing has also got Gab's business. A guy named Thomas Troyer, it's like a 39-year-old man from Michigan. We are looking a little bit into his background, too. I think he's kind of an interesting figure. And he is the person who's giving them payment processing right now. Then there's Start Engine, which is the most superficially legitimate or mainstream company. And they're the ones who are helping Gab provide, handle their work with the SEC in order to try to get their stocks sold.
Now, before we get into that, though, so what exactly has happened with Gab that has forced them to use these sorts of companies? Like, from what I understand.
Sure. I mean, my brain is like filled with too much information. Sometimes I can't remember all the companies that dropped.
Well, we have, I'm pretty sure we have.
Processing, GoDaddy.
Let's start with GoDaddy.
They dropped. The point is that quite a few different companies gave them the boot after, people were justifiably shocked. What they saw. It's like, Gab is operating in the darkness for, like I said, for a very long time. And all of a sudden, this domestic terror attack happens, and all of a sudden, people shine a spotlight on it. Jake Tapper is talking about it on CNN, and people look inside the website and like, dear God, what is this? What is this place? And then, the narrative is always like, journalist pressure and these pressure. I mean, these companies, once you see what's going on, they obviously don't want anything to do with this material, and they just dropped it. And Gab had to go offline for a full week. I believe, if my dates are correct, it was that they went off that Sunday night. The shooting was October 27th, I believe, and then I think it was on the night of Sunday, November 4th. So 1 week exactly, they returned, and it was filled with more glitches and more problems inside technically than usual, because Gab was trying to get off the ground with his new companies.
Let's go back to that time actually, and let's talk a little bit more about that shooting. How active was the shooter of this? Where was this again? The synagogue shooting?
Pittsburgh.
So how active was this shooter? This really domestic terrorist. Active was he on Gab?
Well, I'll just give you for your listeners and for Styx and everybody else, some background about my own usage of Gab. I actually did not cover the far right. I was covering India for 5 years, and then I was covering crime for Vice and a lot of breaking news, including the campaign for ABC News. And, I picked up this beat directly after Charlottesville. And like many Americans, I was very... Suddenly, I was paying attention to the far right, and I was just very upset. I was very emotional. I knew a lot of people, like Heather, and I knew people who were down there, and I was just like, "Well, whatever this is, it can't continue." So I needed to make contacts fast. I needed to get into the movement, into the movement in one way. And I had come across a story about Weave getting suspended from Gab for making comments that someone. This is not literal, but he uses words carefully, but basically that someone could teach Jewish people a lesson by doing a Timothy McVeigh style attack on Jewish people.
Right.
And he and Gab received pressure after that comment was made. And I can't remember who was deplatforming them, maybe app stores or whatever. And they reacted by suspending Weave. And I wrote about that story. And to write about that story, I signed up for it under my own name. And like I said, in a desire to immerse myself in this world, I looked around that site. And I'm like, well, there's a lot of them here. Maybe I should just start talking to people. So I just started – I would just start posting on it. Like at one point I had posted, far more times. I think if you look at my Twitter, I think I've posted maybe 6,000 times since 2012, which, sounds – terrible to me in my ear, but I had posted 7,000 times on Gab, from September 20th, 2017 to, when I was suspended from the site by Torba, after, Tree of Life. And, I used to keep Gab open, in a browser tab basically all day while I was working, having conversations with people. And, I got used to taking a certain level of abuse from people and things like that, to the point where it's just like, you just kind of get numb about it. Like, you know, like you're usually like you're, Jorge Posada, when he used to play baseball, he's like, you have blisters all over his hand, didn't need batting gloves anymore. Gab was really good training for me because I learned to be able to communicate with them, to banter with people and things like that, and to be able to speak. And I did not miss a thing on that website. So the question was, One Dingo, what was he like? One Dingo was Robert Bowers. And I actually, at points, Robert Bowers appeared in my mentions at different times during that period. That was a very long intro to that subject. Sorry about that. And, I watched in real time in July of 2018 when Bowers was interacting with Brad Griffin of League of the South, who's a white nationalist who was very active at Charlottesville during the Unite the Right rally, and a user named Jack Corbin is what he goes by, Pale Horse. His real name, according to other reporting, is Daniel McMahon. And they were organizing against an anti-racist blogger, and trying to dig up information about him, trying to dig about information about his family on Gab. Gab supposedly has a no doxing policy, but that didn't really apply to leftists. It also didn't apply to journalists when I was on the site, many of whom were doxed and had the doxes up for a very long time, including AC Thompson of ProPublica, whose dox was up for a very long time on that website.
Right. This is sort of the thing in the feed here, you have someone saying how Elliot Rodgers uploaded a video to YouTube. Elliot Rodgers, of course, was the guy who is basically an incel hero now, because he put out this manifesto where he blamed women for not liking him. He was like a college student, and he went out and shot up a few women and men who he perceived as being good with women. No. And so the person's basically saying that Elliot Rodgers uploaded a video to YouTube, thus that makes YouTube a hate site too. You know, it's a Gab user or a Gab fan trying to make the false equivalency here. But what you just brought up, though, is sort of the thing, though. Like, if Gab, if someone puts that up on YouTube, YouTube will inevitably receive warnings from users on the site saying, hey, I came across this video, should take a look at it, something's not right here, something's wrong here, this breaks your policies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Something's there. Now, on Gab, you just said to me that people's information was up for hours and hours at a time and almost flourished here. And that's sort of because you got to assume that at the very least, if you want to claim that Gab would have done something about it, let's just give Torba the benefit of the doubt here. Maybe he didn't know about it because the users weren't reporting it because they enjoy that stuff. There's nothing wrong with it to them. It's what they want on the site. That's what the site's there for to them.
Sure. Well, I mean, to that I would say Gab is very different, different from YouTube. And I am by no means giving YouTube a pass or Twitter or any of those sites. We're just talking about Gab right now. Specifically Gab.
Right.
And I'll tell you, not only was there doxing, but I mean, I received, I believe it was in July, someone shared a picture of extremely graphic photograph of Berg, the talk radio host, who was murdered by the Order, a neo-Nazi group, his skull blown apart, literally in the photograph, blood trickling down the driveway. And he's like, this is not a game, like whatever else. I can't remember the exact phrasing. Something, use a hashtag, make journalists afraid again. And I was like, okay, this one's not as nice a message. And I brought that up to Torba not once, not twice, but three times. I brought that particular post to Torba's attention. He never responded to it. I have receipts for those attempts to correspond with Gab support. I had tried to correspond with him in his DMs at one point. He screenshot the DMs and then, you know, tried to, in an effort to drag me, put it onto, you know, post it onto Gab and fed it to people like Christopher Cantwell. That's all good. I'm still standing, as they say. The point is that this particular culture was one where on that website that was nasty on a level that no website I know of, other than like perhaps free-for-all websites like, you know, 8chan, had created. I mean, there was just no environment quite like Gab where you could get someone saying, "We're going to blow your head off," and you go to, you know, you go to the company three times and say, "Hey, this one looks like it violates your terms of service," three times, and get absolutely no response. And actually, that post was up until after, I think. I don't remember whether it was after or if it was up until the very moment that Bowers murdered 11 Jewish people. Jeez. In the synagogue.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, this is pretty serious stuff. I mean, Torba knows that some of his users are dangerous because he himself has concerns about them. I know that from conversations I've had with people who know him. I mean, he knows that his users are a threat and they're a potential threat to him as well. I mean, they're a threat to everybody. Some of them, they're people like Robert Bowers. He was willing to die in order to murder 11 Jews in a domestic terrorist attack. These are not people who are easy to contain, and it requires a tremendous amount of courage to, if you're building a business, to stand up to those users and say, like, look, we're not going to allow this particular thing and put rules. That was not done on Gab.
Right. Now, let's talk about, you know, because let's actually get into what's going on with Gab now. Sure. With what happened yesterday. Now you brought up briefly the crowdfunding that they received. So I guess, yes, we should go a little bit into that first before we get into literally yesterday. So who is this Silicon Valley group that's basically, really, you know, the funny thing is, I don't know if you're a wrestling fan, but all I could think of, you know, when I keep seeing that Gab is about to be down for the count, but then gets somehow rises, yes, back to the occasion, but barely though. It's not like they come back with, you know, like a, no, you know, like a phoenix each time. They come back barely hanging on by a thread each and every time.
And I will interject and quote Faith No More. They keep coming back smaller and smaller and smaller. Any metal fans in there? I don't know if Styx listens to Faith No More.
Right.
Well, I know what you think of them, Styx.
Well, for me, I was thinking of the famous Shawn Michaels promo back in the 90s when the entire Hart family had left the WWE. Storyline-wise, they had DX beat them. Bret Hart, Davey Boy Smith, British Bulldog, Jim the Anvil, Neidhart, and all that was left in the WWE at the time was Owen Hart. Yeah. And Shawn Michaels cuts this promo about how the Hart family is just this big, giant turd that DX just flushed.
Yeah.
But Owen Hart is that nugget that just won't go down the toilet. And I just kept thinking of, honestly, when I thought of that, I pictured Torba doing the whole Owen Hart thing where he came out going like, "I am not a nugget." I don't know if you were a wrestling fan then.
No, I wasn't like that deep into it. I'll be perfectly honest. I'm more of, but I'm like, I do appreciate it. Yeah, I have a cultural appreciation for the type of...
Because usually you respect like the whole, you know, oh, he keeps getting back up for more, you know? But
you know what wrestler I really like is Doink. Remember that guy?
Doink, yeah, there you go.
Doink and Dink. Dink was like the little version of Doink. Anyway, continue.
Right. No, I know exactly who you're talking about. And, you know, Doink actually was better as a heel than a face. But, but you know... And the whole thing was that DX is cool, and yeah, you know, they're the new thing. They're what everyone was basically associating themselves with, because that was the way things were going in that era. And Owen Hart, who is a great wrestler and a great human being, but his gimmick was that he was this annoying little guy who just wouldn't go away to them. And, you know, it's sort of, it isn't that sort of heroic comeback story for Gab each time. It is this really sad, like, oh man, this poor guy is holding on to this terrible website. You know, I looked into Torba's history a little bit. We didn't really get a chance to go into it, but, you know, he seems like he was just like your basic, like, wannabe Silicon Valley, you know, coming up. He was in a Y Combinator funded company.
I've spoken to people from there.
Right.
Conversations with people who've sat with him.
He had sold the company. I'm not sure for how much. It wasn't like this big successful, you know, acquisition, but still we're talking, you know, a tech company. So I'm sure he came away with a decent chunk of change, probably where he really had the money to start Gab in the first place. And, you know, this guy decided to go a route that really has only ruined him, I think. There's no coming back from this in the mainstream tech. Like, sure, you have your Rob Monsters and your this other crowdfunding company we're about to talk about who'll have your back. But once they realize that, maybe Rob Monster will stick into it, but the crowdfunding guys who are actually putting their money and reputation on the line here, they who knows how long they'll stick around for it.
Should give them, you know, a pass. I think StartEngine LA was what we're talking about here, and they signed a contract for $200,000 with Gap after the Tree of Life domestic terror attack, which is, you know, extremely problematic in my opinion. I'll leave it up to opinion. Yeah, no, for them, it's basically a financial thing.
That's what I'm saying, though. I'm not even saying for them specifically, it's about what Gab would do to who they are and how they feel. What I'm saying is, and you're going to get into this more because you wrote about it, Gab is not being totally truthful about how successful, Torba, I should say, is not being totally truthful about how successful Gab is.
I'll tell you what it says without any opinions. I'll tell you what we can report.
Tell me what we can report here. Allegedly, right. Allegedly, Gab is not being...
So as I said, I know Gab inside and out. I spent as much time, I think, probably as anyone but Torba on that website from September 20th, 2017 until today. I have that site open all the time. I know it, and I have watched... Andrew make boasts about the number of users on that website, and instinctively it has always felt, I'll just say just felt, like this cannot be real. This is cannot be a real thing. I'm looking at this website and I'm looking at people dropping out of the website and leaving the website and stopping to post and things like that. And I'm watching people dealing with all these technical glitches. I mean, the site is actually quite a mess inside, just in terms of from a practical use. I mean, the search bar doesn't work and quite a few other things. I think my friend Kelly Will did mention that in her story, which cited our reporting on the SEC stuff. The user numbers have jumped in ways that always struck me as being just impossible. Just a personal opinion. The data, however, was never really available. You were always kind of going by what Torba would say. And he would say, like, oh, 600,000 users on the site, 700,000, 800,000. And you know, he said he put in the SEC filing, we have, I believe the language is, and I'm going, 835,000 persons on the site. I believe that was the language he used.
I definitely saw. I think to be safe, we can say over 800,000 users are on the site. Yes.
Yeah.
I read that too. Yep.
Yeah. I don't remember if it was persons or users actually on the SEC filing. And, you know, what's interesting is that a lot of what a lot of social networks have kind of inflated totals of users with empty accounts and bots and things like that. And that's always been a thing, but you know, Snapchat and Facebook and Twitter, they do report active users. And those are people who log into the website and actually post things. And in the case of Gab, what you have is, according to Storyful, who I reached out, I used to work there, but I knew that they had the capacity to actually break this down because I was aware of their ability. They have like really superb, over in Dublin, superb skills at like scraping these fringe websites and pulling numbers together on them. And the numbers that they had, estimates they'd give me was always, it's more like tens of thousands. And this was guys, I said, can you give me an actual number? And so from 1 week in the middle of January, what they found is that under 20,000 people in that week, not people, accounts, logged into the site and posted something. Now, something could be a picture or whatever. You know, there are some people who accuse Torba of creating hello bots. I mean, I don't know what that is, and I don't know if that's a real thing or not. What I do know is that under 20, like if it is indeed under 20,000, and he's telling the SEC, like, well, we got over 800,000. He's telling his investors now that he has over 850,000. It's always growing. That is something, not something I would do if I were running a business. That's the way I will phrase it on the podcast. That is not something I would do. There are potential legal concerns here. SEC filings are no joke. They are like this is quite serious right. business. And if I were an investor in this website, you know, one of the people, I mean, these are very speculative securities they're buying. I would be pretty unnerved by that total. And I would be asking around for people to start putting together the kind of numbers that Storyful put together for me, get a few more. There are some people on Gab who claim to have numbers that are lower than that and whatever. I actually don't know. I do know that the Storyful number felt much closer to the truth than what I've seen from Torba over the years. Right? I just don't feel like there's on, you know, having posted on the site and searched around it day in, day out, it just doesn't feel like that to me. And those numbers feel that estimate we got feels much closer to the truth. And I also know it's based on data that I can see and whatever.
It's a hell of a difference, by the way.
Now you had misspoke in the intro and said that, you know, now it's a for pay service. That's actually not true. What Gab is now is invite only.
But wasn't there a subscription? I might have got that confused.
They've always had a subscription. And that has been like, you know, they don't have ads. I don't know what the ads would be, but I'm trying to imagine what an ad on Gab would look like. But the thing has always been like, we'll sell you these features, and you know, if you buy these features, that's what's going to keep the site, you know, financially stable. And now the people who have a Gab Pro account are the only people who can invite users onto the site. So now you are.
So it is sort of in a way. I know. I wasn't 100% accurate, but it is sort of behind a paywall now. Because if you don't know anyone who has these paid features, then you're sort of forced to pay to get onto the site.
Well, what it is statement to your investors and to whatever that this site is just not going to grow. Because once you have. I mean, how is it going to grow? I mean, he's every day he's like giving away one code to get onto the website. I mean, this is not how, in my mind, how a website would grow. It seems like the statement that you're making is like, this is what we got, what's in here. And you know, recent things like the bot attacks, that he was claiming that's the reason why the site keeps crashing is bot attacks. I don't actually know if that's the case or not. But you know, it's a very easy way that if he does get in trouble with the SEC, he can point to the, say, oh, we had all these bots attack the site. That's why I thought there were so many users. And, when the site's not growing now, you can say, well, we, because of the bot attacks, now we have, this thing where we have a code we're giving out. And, that's the reason why it's not growing. These are things he could do in theory, if he gets in trouble. I don't know if it'll work or not, though. And the behavior strikes me as being quite stunning. Seems like if you are putting forth a good, you know, a good faith effort to make a successful company that earns money and can you know, people can buy shares of and things like that. It's highly unusual. It strikes me as being highly unusual for a business.
I will say, as someone who covers tech, that, you know, a company would usually do this, you know, to put across this idea that those on the website are VIP. They're, right. You know, to be a member of a site that's closed like that, where you need to be invited or need a special code, that means everyone on the site already are people who aren't on the site really want to get on that site to interact with. You sort of fake some sort of, you know, it's like when you see, you know, a nightclub in New York City with a line around the block, and then you get in and you realize this place isn't packed. It's because they want to create the illusion that yes. there's some sort of special thing going on in this building that not everyone could get into. Right. Now, for a lot of companies, this sort of thing works when there is an influx of users who want to get onto this site because they hear there are some influencers or important people mm-hmm. already in there. Or it works because it just has an interesting sort of angle to it. And people are like, I want to check this site out. But right. what's happened.
But Gab has been around for 2.5 years already.
Right, right. And also, you know, they know who's coming to Gab. It's not like.
I believe early, in the early goings of it, it already had a kind of an invite type of thing. It may have. Yeah, I don't remember. I wasn't on it in August of 2016 when it started.
Right. It wouldn't be shocking. But, you know, the idea that they do that now, and it's not a way to sort of bring in a new audience. That's not how you right. change things up so you could become more digestible to a mainstream audience if you know who these people who are going to be invited onto the site are going to be. Like, it's not fixing whatever Torba, whatever, you know, the problem, whatever the real problems of Gab are, which is the horrible people that seem to use this website that are making life for Torba horrible to run this at a mainstream level. Mainstream companies want nothing to do with it. This whole invite thing is actually not a way to stop these people from coming. It's actually a way to foster it and make sure that if there was anyone who was on this site who weren't already part of these groups, they're probably going to be gone.
Right. Well, I think one thing that is, important to mention is that the Gab's brand is now so irrevocably linked to, you know, this domestic terror attack that it makes it very it's going to make it very difficult to flip it into something else, just in general.
Right, right.
And you know, I mean, who they're going to invite all kinds of good people and be like, oh yeah, let me check this out. I mean, it's like it's known for basically one thing. I mean, I happen to. Yeah, if I didn't believe that Gab were dangerous because of the degree to which it serves to have people with ambitions of domestic terror organizing, I almost enjoy the website sometimes in a kind of like the way I enjoy the movie Troll 2 or The Room, you know, and it's just that it's like anything that can go wrong will go wrong in Gab, like the 404 messages. I like websites that. You know, I like things that are kind of like, you know, don't function particularly well. And it's a lot. Sometimes it's amusing to interact with people on the website when all hell is breaking loose on it. And, you know, pictures aren't loading and stuff like that. And watch everybody get mad. It entertains me in some kind of weird way.
The funny thing, I'm glad you brought that up
because
I'm actually personally, in a very personal sense, and as I see, you know, random messages pop up in the chat right now, you know, a lot of people confuse when I talk about this stuff. Me personally, a little piece of me dies every time one of these right wingers got banned from Twitter or Facebook or YouTube or whatever. Because I personally love this shit. I live for seeing these dunces spew what they spew. And I love like just like screenshotting it or grabbing excerpts of it and just having a good laugh. I report on this stuff the way I do because it's important to see the people who were really hurt by it, you know, marginalized groups who really are in danger and how this affects them. I mean, I could report on that and get it and say, you know, I agree this stuff shouldn't be on there. Well, personally, on the inside, you know, a little part of me does enjoy that type of stuff. The harmful stuff, I should say. Obviously, if someone's obviously advocating for literal mass murder with plans to go out and do something, there's no place for that shit. But, you know, someone talking trash and, you know, saying something dumb that's, you know, some far alt-right, like, trope or some shit. Like, hell.
I would just say, I, you know, I, I understand the spirit of what you're saying. I was just saying on a personal level, because I get, you know, I got accused like, oh, you know, he's an activist. He wants whatever. Look, I will tell you just very clearly, like what I believe in, when I report, I, you know, have no problem being critical of white supremacists and white nationalists, you know, Nazis. I have no problem with that. You know, on a mission, goal is to push them as far away from the mainstream as possible. And in that sense, I don't think that certain people, you know, the like nasty trolls in your mentions are one thing. But like, you know, white nationalists that may not be terrorists, I don't want them on Twitter. You know, I've thought, let them keep running down handles and like, you know, until they keep re-scrambling their names and coming back. I want them off.
Right. Right. I mean, I
don't want them spreading their propaganda. I don't want to see them. I don't want to see their face. I want them. I want them to have as difficult a time to communicate with people as possible. Because in that sense, them being on Gab is better, because I'd rather have them on Gab than I would on Twitter. Because, you know, very few people on Gab, they can't reach anyone.
Right. I mean, personally, I miss, like, you know, and I'm joking here, but I miss, I miss pre-terrible. You know, he was always terrible, but pre-dangerous Alex Jones, like alien conspiracies, Illuminati stuff. When we could just turn on Alex Jones and laugh, and he was just your, you know, normal everyday conspiracy theorist. Why he had to go down this route? You know, it's sad, I mean, for me. I enjoyed clipping that ridiculous stuff he would say. Why he had to harass, you know, send his followers out to harass Sandy Hook families by reporting terrible shit. You know, it's horrible. And, you know, right. Alex Jones is a guy who personally, I actually think, didn't have to do that shit. He is way more, you know, he actually has some broadcast talent. Too bad he felt he had to do that shit. But fuck him. He wants to do that shit. Screw him, you know? But that's how I feel.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really have a comment specifically on Jones, other than, you know, obviously I found the Newtown stuff, like, just absolutely horrible. What I would say about Jones is, it's interesting because he's one of the, you know, e-celebs who went to Gab, and you almost feel like he's not on it because he doesn't interact. He's not a live person. And, you know, it feels very much like some InfoWars intern is just like, yeah, just upload it to Gab. And, you know, it doesn't have that personal feeling. And that is one thing that is really, I think, hurt that website. It's just the number of people are just not interacting. I mean, the people who are e-celebs who interact are not people who anyone cares about. Like, I mean, nobody really pays attention to, you know, crying Nazi Christopher Cantwell. But he's like one of the loudest voices on that website. I mean, he is, you know, because he actually interacts with people. He actually posts his thoughts and things. I mean, and then from there, it gets just much smaller. I mean, it's really like...
Now, didn't, I'm sorry, this just came to my mind. Yeah. Didn't a Gab employee, like a high level Gab employee, there's probably a total of five people who ever worked for Gab, but a high level Gab employee, big time CFO or some sort of high executive level position, was actually harassed so bad that he quit working for the company.
Well, I mean, I can't comment on exactly what happened there.
Allegedly.
You know, there are things that I have heard about his exit. You're talking about Otsof Sanduja. What I can say is that before he left, he and his wife, who is Jewish, were subject to just insane levels of abuse. There was somebody who ran like a meme competition about like how, you know, different ways to dismember the wife or something like that. I can produce the exact screenshot for you later. But it was something related to violence, you know, and picture how we can do this. And there was an entire page, a section, I don't like to use slurs or whatever, but it's called Street Shitter 420. And Street Shitter, because he's Indian, my wife is Indian, and my mother's Arab, so I'm familiar with the brown people slurs, but it's called Street Shitter 420. And it was like primarily when it was first started focused on just creating memes to torment Sanduja. And it just happened. Like, it was a company thing, and it was just allowed to go on. I would say that hashtag, just to in case anybody who posts under that hashtag, has redirected their attention to going after Torba after that. And, has been doing it so aggressively for 7 months, I almost sometimes have to respect it, even though they are extremely vulgar racists and anti-Semites. It's almost like a little weird kind of cancerous troll farm inside of Gab, taking it down from the inside. It's very bizarre culture.
Now, not that anyone deserves that type of stuff for any reason, but sure. Was there some sort of reason that Gab's user base felt the need to go after this guy?
They just didn't like him. I mean, you know, I mean, like just, I mean, he's Indian. I mean, not like.
But I mean, he's one of the guys involved with making sure that their favorite website is up and running.
Yeah, but the thing is, people who are on Gab, you know, again, there are a cross section of people that kind of like post, we love it, we love you under like Andrew Torba's post on the site, and then there are everyone who is not posting on that, it feels like sometimes, is dissatisfied and can't stand it, and you know. It's kind of like, you know, this food is terrible in such small portions too. Why are you still using it, right? Why are you still using this website and you hate it? But I think there's also the degree to which the degree to which they don't have, if you are strongly against big tech and you are looking for an alternative, they don't know what it is. They're just mad that this isn't it. And I mean, there are other alternatives. Like I said, Minds is one of them, and the other one is some website that I haven't really got into yet called freespeechextremist.com. just absolutely dope name, like slightly irony poisoned there, but it's quite a great name.
I feel like you need some sort of
chainsaws like, coming out of your mouth,
and like some sort of like guitar pick slide, and someone.
If you're on freespeechextremist.com, and just like, can you like post pictures of your cat and stuff? I mean, like, I don't know what do you do? Just have to be extreme.
They need to hire like a voiceover actor off like Fiverr to create like their promo video, and each time the website's name is said, he has to go like free speech extremist or something like that.
Yeah, but I mean, but you know, the thing is, like, there is a real hunger for people to find an alternative to these companies. And then, I mean, there's also that one that a lot of leftists use, and I've been invited to a few times, and like, I just can't get into it, which is like, it's the name of a metal band, Mastodon. Is that what it's called?
Right. Yes.
Yeah. I just can't, like, I was like, I'm already on Twitter. Like, it's too much for me. I hate being on it. Like, don't make me go on another thing. But like, I mean, there is a hunger to get away from these things because they farm your data, and like, they, you know, we know. I mean, I recently deactivated Facebook, and like, you know, these websites are kind of problematic. So these people have a hunger for it, particularly, you know, in the kind of libertarian alt-right crossover community there, they wanted something like that. And, you know, they're on the site and just, you know, pissed off it's not working.
Right. And, you know, I just this week I've been reporting on what's been going on between Facebook, Google, and Apple. And for those who aren't aware,
yeah, it can be extremely, you know, it's extremely disconcerting sometimes.
Right. And for those who aren't aware, Facebook and Google were basically found by TechCrunch discovered that Facebook and Google both were basically going around Apple's policies. And they had set up these VPN apps on via Apple's Enterprise Developer Program, which is basically Apple's program so corporations and organizations can set up internal company use iOS apps that's only meant for internal company use, not meant to be distributed on the App Store. And that way companies can do things that Apple doesn't want to be done for mass audiences or for users via their App Store. And what Google and Facebook were doing were they were basically setting up these programs where they were paying users to opt in to these programs where they could download these apps, get paid like $20 to use them. And whether they really realized how much they were giving Facebook and Google is another question entirely. Some of these users, by the way, were as young as 13 years old. Basically, these VPN apps were taking all this data about how Google and Facebook VPN app users were using their mobile phones, everything they were doing on their mobile phone, and sending it to Google and Facebook. Now, Apple finds out about this through this investigative report, and Apple basically says, you're not supposed to do this, and shuts down their certificates and basically breaks all their internal apps for both Facebook and Google, all the company apps they use internally, all the pre-released beta versions of apps that are meant for the public, but the new versions aren't released yet. They can't do anything with them. I believe Facebook was just given access back after coming to terms with Apple. But, you know, I say good. And I bring this up to basically say, you know, this, we're not going after this small upstart, you know, bootstrapped, poor little social network Gab because we're in the big pocket of, you know, we're in the pocket of big Silicon Valley or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, Facebook, Google, Apple, they all have their own problems, and it's nice to see them all going at each other for privacy, for privacy reasons, and trying to one up each other as the better company for privacy. But they're all terrible in that aspect. They all need ways and ways to go. And we're not going after Gab because we're in their pocket or something. Gab is horrible in their own right. You know, I don't really go after DuckDuckGo, who's sort of this, you know, privacy activist search engine, because everything I've seen from DuckDuckGo has been good. Like, they're not...
That's a very good point, is that, like...
Like, they always bring up these same people whenever you see, like, these are the free speech websites to support. They put Gab with, like, DuckDuckGo.
I use DuckDuckGo, and I would use a, you know... If there was somehow a clean version of social media, I don't think there's. I mean, it's just a dirty business, in my opinion. You know, personally, but I mean, if there was some clean version, you know, that I could feel like, and I don't mean clean in terms of content, but I could feel, you know, less, you know, in the dirt with. I mean, I probably would be all about that. But I will tell you, since you mentioned these things of what Gab is doing whatever, you had mentioned Utsav Sanduja. When he and Ekrem, I believe his name was, these are two, it was, I believe, Turkish, those two people had a good amount of shares. I believe there's 9 million shares, like the initial pool that was created and whatever. And now the shares that belong to them evaporated, and Torba has, you know, all of the shares now, because he's the guy. So he's betting extremely, extremely hard on the SEC picking this up. It's going to do that to underwrite their losses, which are substantial. Gab lost $160,000, in the first half of 2018. So that is before the Tree of Life terror attack. He pays himself a salary of 80,000, you know, there's a lot of people who have speculated on the site that he's doing all kinds of other things to get money and things like that. I don't know anything about that. All I know is what's in our reporting, which shows that, like, he is betting extremely huge on this SEC thing. And, you know, he needs that. There are, you know, financial experts with whom we consulted. And I just want to point out our Follow the Money reporter, John, who handled a lot of the really difficult numbers stuff for this is so much better at talking about this than I am. But from what I understand from reporting on it is that, you know, if he can he's gotten, you know, a small cluster of investors to float $1 million for those first 2 years. $1 million or more for both those first 2 years. If he can somehow get this stock offering approved, he has a chance to really make a lot of money all of a sudden, and he is betting big on that. That's basically what Gab is right now. So
right.
So trying to get the end zone on that. I don't know. So far, the SEC has not been responsive. You know, and I understand that, you know, not a good sign for him, but that is what he's trying to do.
You know, it's incredible to see, basically. And you mentioned this a few times, but I think it's a good way to end this. You know, usually people who are on these websites, and this is putting aside the most important stuff, actually, getting down to just basically the future of Gab. You know, usually people on these websites, you know, there are people who this term is terrible. I hate using it, but it's the term that people like to use on these social networks, who stand for Twitter, stand for Facebook. Like, they love these social networking platforms.
Yeah.
And I don't see how a site like Gab, with all their real problems that we've discussed in length now, you know, I don't see how Gab has a future when its own user base, who is horrible for what they do and believe, what they share on the site and what they believe and post on the site, basically hates the site itself too. Like,
yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting that you you should mention. I mean, the far right, the people on the far right, love their social media accounts. I mean, it is like you got like these people, and it's like you know, like for instance, Penovich, who does the Right Stuff Network. So like emotionally goes on these like tirades and things when he loses a Twitter account. It's like, dude, you're 40 something years old, you know, you're 40 something years old. Your whole life is like, you know, is around like your Twitter account. Please just take mine. You can have my blue check or whatever that they care so much about, you know? I mean, just like, just so, I mean, it's like so obsessed with it. And I just don't see how Gab is going to overcome people's obsession with being on these mainstream sites. And like I said, I mean, like Richard Spencer, you know, I mean, he needs that Twitter account. Because once you get rid of that Twitter account, I mean, he's just a guy who's most likely, I believe, living, you know, with his mother in Montana or wherever he is right now. And like, you're somebody like Anglin, you know, he's got his own website and his own audience and whatever and these things. But like, I mean, you know, some of these other guys, I mean, they're hanging on by a thread and their whole world of these accounts, and it just matters so much to them. I did a story about, you know, I don't know if you saw that story about Spectre, who was like a, you know, Twitter troll or whatever. That guy's been, we listed 20-something accounts, but I think that guy's, you know, there are so many I wasn't able to report on because I couldn't 100% verify, but I think maybe 50, 60. They keep coming back because they want to be on Twitter. And it's just, I don't know how Gab will ever overcome that. They'll have the sympathy of those people. They'll have the people who, you know, whenever you say I'm being pushed around by blue check journalists, you can always get these people who's, you know, who get so emotional about these. I'm trying to imagine getting so emotional about like blue check journalists. Like, it's like, wow, this is a really small world. Like, Porzingis was traded today. Like, you know, the Knicks, this is a real serious issue. Like, you should be focused on that. I mean, but like, I'm just trying to imagine, like, it's just getting so like this, my Twitter account. And it's like, how is Gab going to ever break through that? Being on this space means so much to these people.
Right.
It just means so much. It's just, like I said, I keep bringing up Penovich, but it's like he gets kicked off of Twitter and is like.
Like, is anyone going to handcuff themselves to Torba's house if they get kicked off of Gab? No.
No, I mean, like, well, look at Loomer, you know? I mean, it was so, I mean, she just lost it. And like, you know, I mean, or appeared to lose it, I should say. But I mean, you know, then she goes to Gab and she's not posting anymore because it doesn't matter. She's not, it's just, she's not in the mix anymore.
Right.
Nobody cares on Gab.
Right.
And that's just the reality for these guys. Nobody cares.
Right.
When you post on Gab, it's only about the people who enjoy it. They're posting to their community of friends that they met there. And I'm saying that, you know, I mean, white nationalists do have friends, and there's small accounts. They do have friends. And I mean, there's a few of them. That's it.
Right.
It's a really small website. And you just don't get the same punch.
Right. I think that's a great way to end it. White supremacists. Even they have friends.
They do. Whenever they get bad money, my favorite thing I love to make, you know, Luke O'Brien.
Right, from HuffPost.
Luke and I used to—I don't want to take your time, but Luke and I always make fun of like these guys who get banned like from Twitter, and then they come back and it's like, "Hey, I'm looking for my friends, FRENS, like this very childish, like kind of like baby talk kind of thing," and then they'll post like a little baby groiper in like a diaper and stuff, and then it's like, then you like find out, like we found out about Spectre, the guy was doing, he's 50. It's like, you're 50. I'm looking for my friends on. I mean, it's really quite something. Anyway, that's a good. Now I'm really getting warmed up.
Well, maybe we should just restart the episode.
Yeah. Shout out to Sticks. Thank you for coming by.
That was a great.
Talk to me offline. I blocked you. I can unblock you. Just DM me, or you can get me at michael.hayden@splcenter.org. I'm happy to talk to any of my friends.
And I would be happy to talk to them too. They could DM me on Twitter. My at Matt Binder. My DMs are open. We could set something up on the feed. And if you really want to talk to Michael and want to do it on air, maybe Michael can come on this show and you can come on this show, Sticks and Ham, or anyone else. And we could
I'm not sure that one's going to get approved by.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you're talking to Holocaust denial people.
Well, you know, that's also the funny thing, that free speech to them is that stuff. Like, it's not
genocide of a religious minority. I mean, it's depressing, like, when you get down to it. It's something I don't want to make too much light of it, because it's just awful. It's just
My whole look at this is, if you don't laugh, then you give these guys too much power. And also, if you don't laugh,
I enjoy talking to you about it.
All right, thank you. Michael Edison Hayden, senior investigative reporter with the Southern Poverty Law Center. You can find his work on their website at Hate Watch. What is the domain for that? Oof.
just go to my Twitter.
There you go. What's your Twitter handle?
At Michael E. Hayden. And just click on the links that are on there, because I don't know.
I'm sure what happened was Southern Poverty Law Center originally had a .ai domain, and then they had to later on rebrand to .com using users' money after not pulling through and providing them with the features that they promised those users who were paying for those features. But that's probably another story, and we could get into the SPLC's inability to provide their social networking customers with their various pro features at another time, Michael.
Yeah, they all read our stuff, which is funny. They do. They really do.
Well, they like reading about themselves. I mean, it's fun. I like reading about myself online.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a good time. All right, Michael, take care. Thank you so much for joining us. And hope to talk to you soon. Again soon.
All right. It's nice to meet you, Matt.
Nice to meet you, too. Take care.
Bye.
All right, folks. This is going to be a fun members half for Patreon listeners only. People watching the live stream can continue to watch. I'm going to shout out the Patreon subscribers and then go into the members only portion of this program. You can support this show by going to patreon.com/mattbinder. That's patreon.com/mattbinder. And by doing so, you help this show grow. I will do more shows. I'll do more live streams. I'll do more videos. I'll do more whatever as the show continues to grow. With the 2020 primary season already in full throttle here. Once Bernie jumps in, I would like to do an extra show a week at least, because there'll be a lot of fun stuff online about my boy Bernie, or as Cardi B calls him, Daddy Bernie, bitch. Let's thank the Patreon subscribers for making this show happen. La-di-da, going to my Patreon account. Should have had this ready, but that's okay. All right. Abigail T, Adam Q, Alan B, Andrew C, Andrew H, Benji A, Bobby M, Brett R, Brian James D, Brooke H, Christine H, Clement C, Colin R, Dank Uger, Dave K, Dragon Slayer, Edward N, Emily M, Froz K, Francis Z, Ian Curtis J, Jameson Test, Janelle A, Jasmine H, Jeff K, Josh C, Julie, Katie S, Louis from Texas, Marcos R, Max W, User Me, that's not me. I always have to say that for some reason, because I want everyone to know I'm not giving myself $5 a month. Michael J, Michael M, Misfit D, Mr. Danks, Mugrim, Nicole A, Namde Net, Omid M, Robert B, Romina, Cena, Struggle Session, TM, Tamni G, Thaddeus A, Tom G, Tom M, Trine E, Will P. and Zarin. Thank you guys for making this show possible. You can also support this show by subscribing to the YouTube channel. We recently hit the threshold, both in hours watched and subscribers, to be able to apply for YouTube monetization. If you're listening via the podcast and not in the YouTube live stream, you can come subscribe if you're not already. Doomed.tv will take you right to the YouTube channel. You can also support this show by subscribing on iTunes, the Google Play Store, and all other places where podcasts can be listened to. Leave us a review on iTunes. It's a big help, especially if it's a written review. Those are always good to see because people see the number of written reviews and the number of stars and all that fun stuff, and they go, oh, this show has a lot of that. Must be popular, even if it really isn't. But this show is fairly popular as a podcast, actually. It's the YouTube channel that's growing, and growing it is. And it will continue to grow as long as you guys tune in. So for you freebie listeners, non-Patreon subscribers, I bid you adieu. See you all next time on Doomed! Spend your days and nights online, your website makes you